Today is the fourth Sunday after Easter. The epistle is from that of St. James, chapter 1. Dearly beloved, every best gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change nor shadow of alteration. For of his own will hath he begotten us by the word of truth, that we might be some beginning of his creatures. You know, my dearest brethren, and let every man be quick to hear, but slow to speak and slow to anger. For the anger of man worketh not the justice of God. Wherefore, casting away all uncleanness and abundance of malice, with meekness receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The Gospel for the Mass. It's taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 16. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, I go to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have spoken these things to you, sorrow hath filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go. For if I go not, the Paraclete will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he is come, he will convince the world of sin and of justice and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me, and of justice, because I go to the Father, and you shall see me no longer, and of judgment, because the prince of this world is already judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will teach you all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but what things soever he shall hear, he shall speak. And the things that are to come he shall show you. He shall glorify me, because he shall receive of mine, and shall show it to you. As far as the words of today's Holy Gospel. Dearly beloved, every best gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Words taken from the Epistle of the Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Many years ago, in a large country mansion, there lived a young girl named Agnes. Agnes was one of the maids of the wealthy family that lived in the house. And she was very different from the other servants in the house. The others were diligent when their mistress was around, and very negligent when they thought no one was looking. Agnes, however, was prompt, exact, and hardworking, whether her mistress was present or not. These good habits were noticed by her superiors and even by strangers. One day, a doctor came to the house. He heard about Agnes's diligence, her prompt obedience, and he said of her, I would like very much to see this girl. She must have some secret motive. Do you think it's because she wishes to be praised for it, or to obtain a better position in your household? Oh, no, replied the master of the house. That certainly is not her motive. For whether we praise or blame her, she acts the same. She is as ready to perform the simplest task in the house as the more important. And on all occasions, she does what she has to do without the slightest murmur. Hearing this, the doctor was even more eager to see and speak with her. So he waited for the opportunity. That evening, he met Agnes in one of the rooms of the house. With a brush in her hand, she was carefully arranged in the apartment. As the doctor entered, he noticed that there were tears streaming down the girl's face. What's wrong, my child? He asked her. Why are you weeping? Has anyone been unkind to you? Or has something sad happened to you? Being taken by surprise, Agnes did not answer. She only lowered her head. But the doctor was gentle and kind, and he urged her to tell her the cause for her tears. Encouraged by his kindness, Agnes spoke. She said that far from being sad, she was very happy. The other servants were very good to her, and the master and mistress treated her more kindly than she deserved. She was weeping, she said, not through sorrow, but rather through joy and happiness. I am pleased to hear this, said the doctor, but would you let me into your little secret, my child, and tell me how you are always so happy and contented? Agnes hesitated a little, then she answered, Sir, if it will be of any interest to you to hear from a poor maid like me the reason for this, I will tell you. Before I came here, I happened to hear an instruction on the love of God. The priest who gave us the instruction told us how good God is, to let us call him and for him truly to be our Father, to let us love him. Happy are those who do love him. When I heard this, the girl went on, I thought to myself that I would like very much to love God perfectly, and I began to wonder how I could do it. For you see, I was only a poor girl. I had to go to work to get my livelihood. I had not the time to say long prayers, as some pious people whom I knew. And just as these thoughts were passing through my mind, the girl continued, the Father told us these words, which I have kept in my mind ever since. My children, he said, it is easy for you all to love God. Do exactly, carefully, and punctually the work that you have to do day by day. And while you are doing it, think that it is God who sent you to do it. If you do this, then you really love God with all your heart. The girl went on to explain, so, sir, when I am sweeping the floor as you saw me doing just now, or whatever else I do, I think in my own mind that it was God who sent me to do it, and that he is looking at me to see how I do it. And so I try to do it carefully, that I may please him. And I know that God is pleased by me when I do this, and so I am always happy. But I saw you weeping, the doctor commented. Why those tears? Sir, she answered, I cannot keep from weeping when I think that I, who am only a poor servant girl, am permitted to love God as much as those great saints who were so holy, and that he who is so great not only thinks of me, but he even loves me. Oh, sir, since God is so good, how could I not try to love him with all my heart? That thus explained how those tears were not tears of sadness, but tears of joy, that God loved this simple girl and cared about her simple deeds, and that God chose to be pleased by her simple work. And she had truly struck on a great truth, and she was very accurate in her estimation of God's care. When the doctor went home that night, his thoughts were much different than they usually were. For he had learned that day a great lesson that he had never learned before, and he realized that it was true. And the lesson was more important than every other lesson that he had ever learned. That lesson he learned from a poor servant girl. In today's epistle, my dear faithful, St. James tells us, every best gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. What he means is that all good things come from God, both material things and spiritual things. It is God's desire that we ask him for everything that we need. Because he is so good, he sometimes gives many things without our asking, such things as the necessities of life. He sends the beautiful sunshine, the rain that feeds all of the crops, and ultimately gives us our food. He gives us good weather. He gives us all the things that we use, that we possess, that we enjoy. But the greatest of God's gifts are his graces, and these he gives only to those who ask for them. These graces of God are absolutely necessary for salvation. Our Lord tells us, without me, you can do nothing. That means, what he means is that without the help of his grace, we cannot perform a single meritorious deed that deserves a supernatural reward. So we can do nothing of spiritual value. And because God ordinarily gives these graces only to those who ask for them, it therefore becomes absolutely necessary that we pray in order to be saved. St. Alphonsus says, regarding prayer, he says, he who prays is certainly saved, and he who prays not is certainly damned. All the blessed, he said, except infants, have been saved by prayer. And he says that all the damned have been lost through not praying. He says if they had prayed, they would not have been lost. Prayer accomplishes great things. St. Alphonsus says that prayer appeases the wrath of God. He says, for God pardons all who pray with humility. He says that prayer obtains every grace that is asked for. He says that it crushes the strength of the tempter, the devil. He says that prayer changes men from blind into seeing, from weak into strong, and from sinners into saints. He who uses this great weapon of prayer does not fall into sin. He finds strength to overcome the natural weakness of that we all have as a result of original sin. He finds strength to overcome temptation. He loses his love for the things of this world. And he begins even now to find great joy in speaking to God. Even as that young girl, as I mentioned in the story, that maid found great joy in conversing with God in her heart, in doing her work for him. God tells us to pray at all times. Now, we use formal prayer at certain times, such prayers as the daily rosary, morning and night prayers, prayers before meals. These are formal prayers. But we can also pray informally at all times by simply thinking of God and doing our daily work because it is His will. That's how this that young maid, Agnes, in the story, learned to pray. She became very holy, and she found great happiness in doing all of her work for God, because she knew that God wanted her to do that work. So she accepted it as God's will, and she did it for love of Him. Because of that, her very work became a prayer, a continual prayer. And that's how she was able to fulfill the command that we are given in the epistles of St. Paul, when he says, pray at all times. This is the kind of prayer that God meant when God commanded all of us to pray at all times. Remember, prayer is not just the repetition of certain memorized words that we use when we say, for example, the rosary. Prayer essentially is the raising of the mind and heart to God. It is thinking of God. It is speaking to Him in our heart. Now, in order for us to please God by our prayers, in order for us to receive the things that we ask for, we also must pray properly. We must remember when we pray that God is our Father, that He loves us as a Father. So if we think of Him as a loving Father, then we will pray properly. We will pray with a proper attitude. We should act thus as a good child, and we should treat God as a good Father. We should have faith in His goodness, faith and confidence that He will give us what we ask because of His great goodness. And if He doesn't give us what we ask, He will give us something which is far better. Ask, He says, and you shall receive. Ask first, though, for spiritual things when you pray. Ask for the graces that you need to save your soul, to become better spiritually, to overcome sin, to overcome temptation, grace to be strong, grace to do God's will in fulfilling your duties, grace to be good parents, good spouses, grace to be good children. God wants to give those graces. God loves to give those graces. People often ask God for health and riches and the things of this world. And God sometimes gives them, but God often also refuses to give these things because God may foresee that they will be harmful to our soul. When we ask God for temporal favors, then, we should ask it on condition that these things be for the good of our soul. And then we should thank God whether He gives them or refuses them. And if you honestly wish to be blessed with an abundance of things in this world, if you wish for worldly prosperity, then dispose yourselves to avoid danger. Dispose yourselves to serve God perfectly so that God doesn't have to limit the good things that He gives you for fear that they're going to lead you away from Him. For prosperity very often leads people to forget about God and forget to pray. And so if God sees that blessing you with an abundance of things in this world is going to lead you to forget about Him and to neglect all of your prayers, then God is certainly not going to give you those things that will lead you away from Him and cause you perhaps to lose your soul. But if you, on your own part, take the initiative to be diligent with habits of daily prayer, every single day, praying the rosary, being a spiritual person, doing spiritual reading, putting God first, and striving to serve Him with absolute perfection, avoiding all sin, then God will foresee that you have good habits and that it's not going to be dangerous or risky if he blesses you with abundance. And in this case, you'll be much more likely to receive an abundance of good things in this world when you're making the effort to serve God perfectly. Because in your case, then, the good things will not lead you away from him. But regarding prayer, most importantly, if we wish to receive the things that we pray for, we must avoid all deliberate sin. We cannot offend God one minute and then ask him for a favor the next minute. If we wish God's favor, then we must show that we care about what interests him. We must show that we care about whether or not we offend him. We must make a conscious effort, as I said, to avoid all sin. We must seek to please God in all things. Now, this is very easy to do if we wish to do so. The way we can do it is by realizing that God wills our daily duties. God gives us the chores of our state in life. And we can please him at all times by simply doing our daily work, our studies, our chores, our assignments, and doing them for the motive of his glory, doing them for God, accepting our work as given us by God and doing it to please him. Because we're doing it for him, we will do it exactly, carefully, and promptly when it's supposed to be done. Work done in this manner becomes a continual prayer because you are doing it for God, and all that is done for God is a prayer. This is truly an easy way to love God and become holy. And this is what the saints realized, and this is how they became so holy, simply doing their duties. Say your prayers, my dear faithful. Pray the rosary. Pray it as a family, if possible, each night. Our Lady asked for the rosary. It is a bare minimum, and yet it is a great, great prayer, a great work for the glory of God and for the salvation of souls. But I encourage you to do even more. Learn to pray at all times, as our Lord commands. Do so by doing your work, or studies, or cooking, or cleaning. Doing it as if God sent you to do that chore. Doing it as if you saw him watching you to see how you are doing it. For he certainly is, and he sees all that you do. And every tiniest little deed done for him gives him glory and comforts his sacred heart and merits a reward in heaven. In this way, you will find peace and contentment in the midst of your daily duties, even though those duties may be difficult, burdensome, and disagreeable. And God will thus answer your prayers. He will give you the greatest of all graces, the grace of eternal salvation, which is the reward of a good and virtuous life, but it's the reward especially of a prayerful life, a life of prayer. May God bless you and give you this great grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.